When you take a few moments to stand back and reflect on your entire life, how do you measure your success? And what are the benefits, the rewards of a lifetime of following God? Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll will answer those questions. You're about to hear a message originally delivered to an enthusiastic group of Insight for Living listeners on board a cruise liner for a refreshing holiday in Alaska. They managed to have plenty of fun, lots of laughter, sightseeing, and of course, spending time together in God's Word. Following a time of singing, Chuck brought this message called Enjoying the Rewards.
Some songs and some hymns are birthed in times of crisis. And what you just sang, It Is Well With My Soul, is one of those that grew out of a horrible loss in the life of a businessman from Chicago named Horatio Spafford. Wife and four daughters were making their way to England, at which time there was a terrible accident at sea. All four daughters were lost at sea. The wife made it alone to England and wrote her husband in a deep grief. And the result was he, as soon as he could, took the next liner to England. And on the way, as close as they could determine as possible to the shipwreck, he stood on the deck of the ship and he recalled the lives that he had lost, went to his stateroom and on a ship wrote, "When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Listen to me. It is well with your soul when you see God's hand in all of life. I want to talk about that for a few minutes, and then we'll address the rewards of living like that. I want to challenge every one of us to be practical, practicing theologians in life, to make sure that our theology is in place so that when the bottom drops out, and crisis and chaos replace peace and calm, we read into those times the hand of God. If we do not, we will come apart and we will give up, or we will turn against the things we once embraced, and ultimately will live disillusioned, even embittered lives. What a horrible way to live, and not a life well lived. It will not be well with your soul if you view life strictly from the horizontal plane, to draw on what we've said the last couple of days. You must see the hand of God. You must view life vertically from His perspective, or you will lose all drive to go on ultimately, because life will bring to you, I should say God will bring to you, the crises that will crush you. While I was a seminary student, just began 1959, I sat at Chafer Chapel and listened to Dr. Alan Redpath, who was then the pastor of the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. I forget all the other things Dr. Redpath said that day to those of us who were young students at the school, but I do remember one statement. He said, "When God wants to do an impossible task, He takes an impossible person and crushes him." He takes an impossible person and crushes him. Now, that makes for great preaching, and it is a marvelous statement to remember, but it really will require of you the mental discipline to embrace that, to believe that, to live in that truth, and to die with that on your lips. Dawson Trotman died at Scroon Lake. He was on a speedboat, and it took a quick turn, and one of the women in the boat, and Trotman, fell overboard. Trotman, who had founded the Navigators, just really beginning the ministry back in the late 40s and early 50s, brought the woman up out of the water and held her up, and they drew her into the boat, even sank and drowned. Drowned, suddenly drowned. Lila, not knowing she was his widow, was walking on the shoreline of Scroon Lake when the boat came back, and these grieved, heartbroken people on board stepped out on the pier, and one of them ran down to Lila and said, "Lila, Lila, Doss is gone. Doss is gone." She looked at him and without a hesitation said, "Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatever he pleases." That's the vertical perspective. And I commend that perspective to every one of us as we think about living a life that honors God. It isn't simply doing what is right and loving kindness and modeling humility, as powerful as those statements are. It is a deeper, deeper truth than that, and that is embracing the providential hand of God in all of life. As Cynthia and I say to each other at least once a week, some weeks several times, God is still sovereign. God is still in control. Many of us live our lives from one crisis to another, from one test to another, from one surprising incident to another, and we think we have seen it all until the next week comes, and there's another thing that can cut our legs out from under us. The first reaction and the most common reaction is a horizontal one, to complain, to grouse about it, to become resistant and resentful, even to try to escape the truth of it. We need to embrace the pain of it and to acknowledge God's hand is in it. He didn't suddenly stop being sovereign before the crisis happened. I love the words of Malcolm Muggeridge. Any happening, great and small, is a parable whereby God speaks to us. And the art of life is to get the message. Isn't that great? And the art of life is to get the message. Cynthia and I would use the colloquial expression that we throw around, connect the dots. Get it together. Take out of your vocabulary accident, mistake. God's providential hand is at work. Every once in a while, I need a good dose of John Calvin. Listen to his words. We are not afflicted by chance, but through the infallible providence of God. Nothing can more effectively preserve us in a straight and undeviating course than a firm persuasion that all events are in the hand of God and that he is merciful as he is mighty. He is as merciful as he is mighty. One more, if I may. The necessary consequences of this knowledge are gratitude in prosperity, patience in adversity, and a wonderful security respecting the future. Let me tell you what will happen to you if you begin to live your life like this. You will move to another plane. You will live your life at a level of a Horatio Spafford, who rather than shaking his fist in the face of God, stood on the deck of the ship and dedicated a song that to this day lives on in his legacy. And most who sing it have no idea it's a song written in grief and with tears by a man who determined, "It is well with my soul, even though I've lost the four most precious, lives that my wife and I will ever know. Now then, if it hasn't already happened, I want to encourage you with the thought that someday you will be someone's hero. I know. I know there are a number of you who are thinking right now, I'm sure glad Chuck said that for the sake of her, whom everybody respects, or him, whom we all admire. No, I said you. Your life touches a life or lives in your sphere of influence that no one else touches. You are, for some people, the one and that individual is looking at. There will come a time in your life when your significant impact on another individual will be so strong they will think of you when the crisis hits them. Your servant-hearted attitude will win their admiration. Your faith-inspired vision will cause them to trust God in the trenches because you have. Your willingness to forgive and your refusal to bear a grudge against those who offended you will prompt them to do the same when they are offended. They'll remember you. Your determination to do what is right, to love kindness, and to walk in humility will encourage them to stand tall and just as true as you have. As a result, your name will be on their lips. Your face will frequently flash across their minds when they need someone to reflect on, not knowing what to do at the moment in their lives. God uses individuals in that way. I've had people say to me, people I have never even met, I've had them say to me, you have no idea how long I've admired you or respected you. My answer is usually, if you knew me better, you wouldn't think that much of me, honestly. But they say, no, I've listened. And because of what you have taught, because of what you have said, I want you to know it has made a difference in the way I live my life. I am absolutely amazed at statements like that. But it's true. It's true. And it's not only true of preachers. It's not just true of individuals who stand on platforms and do what they do before a watching public. It's true of you in the trenches, in the private part of your life. All of us need heroes. I need heroes, and I have a few. I need flesh and blood mentors, and I look back on some of them and realize I'm the man I am today because they were there for me when I needed that so much. They believed in me when I didn't even believe in myself. They modeled for me what I saw in the scriptures, but I had not seen modeled. At the heart of it all is, in one word, integrity. Integrity. When you do what is right, when you love kindness, when you walk in humility, all of that wraps around the core of integrity. It's not sinlessness. It's authenticity. It's an honesty that can be penetrated and pierced and not found at any point to be phony. When God looked for someone to take the place of Saul after he had really disqualified himself for the throne, he found this young shepherd boy keeping his father's sheep. At the end of Psalm 78, three verses appear that are worth your memorizing. Psalm 78, verses 70, 71, and 72. Talk about David at that young time in his life when God chose him to be the king elect. He chose David, took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. And so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them with skillful hands. Isn't that beautiful? That's not only beautiful Hebrew, beautiful English in poetic meter. It's beautiful in life. So he led them according to the integrity of his heart and with the skillfulness of his hands. The Hebrew word for integrity is tov, T-O-B. Simple little three-letter, three-character word. At the heart of it is the thought of an unimpaired condition, wholeness, completeness, soundness. The root term integer, I-N-T-E-G-E-R, means untouched, intact, and entire. It's an absence of veneer, solid. A person with integrity is not divided. That would be duplicity. A person with integrity is not devious. That would be deception. A person with integrity isn't merely pretending. That would be hypocrisy. People with integrity have nothing to hide, nothing to fear, and they will not pose. Phil Donahue, back when he was on television, way back when he was just getting underway, admitted that he really never had much place in his life for anybody religious. He said, I only knew one preacher that I ever really respected. And he told the story about a cold, cold day in West Virginia when a mine shaft caved in and trapped the men deep in the mine. And the families gathered around the mouth of that mine and their hearts were breaking as they thought of their loved ones may never come out alive. Well, in the meantime, he hears about this and he hops in his little Volkswagen and makes his way to the scene. It's a cold, cold day and the heater isn't working in his little car. And his little video camera that he used to take the shots for the evening news that he was presenting froze up. And just as he arrived on the scene, there was this great-hearted, broad-shouldered pastor with his arms around the wives and the children of the dads and the husbands who were in the cave, in the mine. And he was pouring his heart out in prayer. And Donahue says, trying to thaw out this camera so he could capture it. And just as he got it ready and it started to work, the man finished his prayer. Donahue walked up to him. He says, excuse me, Reverend, but he said, I'm doing the evening news. By the way, in this book, it says, Donahue makes a statement, I've seen all kinds of people do anything to be on the evening news. And so I said to this pastor, could you just do that prayer again and let me catch it on camera? The pastor said, I have prayed and I will not pose. I love that answer. I'm not doing this for the evening news. I'm doing it because my heart breaks with my parish, my people, the community, the church, those whose hearts are breaking over their loved ones. That's integrity. That's integrity. Not surprisingly, Solomon, reared by a man of integrity, writes of the subject in several of his Proverbs. If you have your Bible handy, turn to Proverbs chapter 10. We'll look at that and then a few others before we come to Daniel chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. These first few proverbs I'll read are called contrastive proverbs for obvious reason, usually divided in the middle of the sentence with the word but, or however, or yet. Proverbs 10, verse 9. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. I want you to see both ends of the same statement. There is a walking in integrity that brings security. However, there is exposure that happens to one who fakes it, who perverts his way. Next chapter, verse 3, Proverbs 11, 3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. I don't know where you are in this message. I don't know where you are in life, but maybe this is the night to begin to start doing things right. Maybe this is the time, maybe this is the place in the quietness of our time together for you to determine deep in your heart where decisions are made, where life makes up its mind, for you to determine from this day forward, I will begin to live a life that has no duplicity, that will not pose, that refuses a crooked plan or compromise. I'll face the truth. When I'm wrong, I'll admit it. When I'm right, I'll give God the credit for it. but I will stand firm in my integrity. 13 verse 6, same thought, different words. 13:6, another contrasted proverb. Righteousness guards the one whose way is blameless, but wickedness subverts the sinner. Two more. Chapter 20, verse 6, one of my favorite two verses in Proverbs. 20, verses 6 and 7. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? Look at the next verse. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his children after him. The thumbprint of integrity is passed on to our children. How blessed are his sons and daughters after him. Proverbs 20, verses 6 and 7. One other, 28, verse 6. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. Now, men and women, I want to tell you, I am one who loves this nation with my whole heart. I served my country in a military organization. I look back on it with nothing but gratitude. Difficult years, but good years. Learning years, growing years. It was during those years I learned I was a leader. It was during those years of absence from my wife for 16, 17 months in Southeast Asia that I learned what love was all about and the importance of faithfulness to her. I love my country. My heart grieves for this nation. And I know many of you would say the same thing. It isn't the same country it was when we were children. That breaks our hearts. Several years ago, James Patterson and Peter Kim released a penetrating book entitled The Day America Told the Truth. It's not a Christian book. Some of the sections in it are pretty raw, a little bit coarse. But it's the result of an extensive opinion poll taken by these two authors, Patterson and Kim. They guaranteed anonymity to the participants who responded to the questionnaire that was sent out. It's a 200-page volume, actually more than 200 pages, that exposes the integrity crisis in our nation. For a quick sampling, listen to these discoveries. I quote, only 13% of Americans see all 10 commandments as binding and relevant. 13%. By the way, these are old statistics. The book was released in the early 90s. No less than 91% admitted that they lie regularly at work and to their family at home. Most Americans admitted to goofing off for an average of 7 hours a week. And half the workforce who responded admitted that they regularly call in sick when they feel perfectly well. It's an absence of integrity.
From Chuck Swindoll and Insightful Living, a message entitled Enjoying the Rewards. This week on Insightful Living, we've been looking at Micah 6:8. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. The DVD of this series provides a unique opportunity to see Chuck present these messages. The set comes with a Bible Companion study guide, making this series perfectly suited for personal or group study. To inquire about the DVD set for the entire series, A Life Well Lived, go to insightfulliving.org.uk or give us a call at 0800 787 9364. For several months now, we've been working behind the scenes on an exclusive tabletop-style book for you that celebrates the last 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry. And I'm pleased to say it's ready for you. I'm referring to the third in a collectible series. This latest and final edition is called 3 Years with Jesus, A Pictorial Journey Through the Ministry of Christ. This colorful book vividly enriches your learning about the life and geography of Jesus' earthly ministry. It's a book to enjoy browsing for a long time to come. And it's not only a visual treat, it's also a devotional tool as well. To inquire about this new resource from Insight for Living, call our UK-based ministry team on 0800 787 9364 or write to Insight for Living UK, P.O. Box 553, Dorking, RH4 9EU. If you can't remember the whole title, don't worry, just mention 3 years with Jesus. As a locally registered charity, we're committed to continuing to provide Chuck's teaching and resources to people around the UK and Europe. Our desire is to enable as many people as possible to access biblically faithful and solid teaching. For more information on our ministry, give our team a call on 0800 787 9364. They'll be able to tell you about our other publications too, such as our bi-monthly Insights magazine and our monthly letter from Chuck. Our number again, 0800 787 9364. I'm Terry Boyle, and tomorrow you'll hear Chuck Swindoll continue the practical series, A Life Well Lived, on Insight for Living. The preceding message, Enjoying the Rewards, was copyrighted in 2007, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide.